You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, July 19th, and if you can stand any more after that first hour, we are going to bring it to you, and it's just going to keep on getting harder. But I want to thank our guest in the first hour, Mr. Sean Bergen, who is making national news this week. He has appeared on the Sean Hannity Show, on Fox News Television, also with Megyn Kelly and Glenn Beck, among others, and now he had spent 30 minutes with us live on the air. He was a reporter for a television news station in New Jersey and made the mistake of talking about the illegitimacy rate of black children in this country. And you know what happened to him. He didn't make it much longer after that, but he has not apologized for his comments. Instead, if he had it to do over again, he would. And in this age, this reprehensible and decadent age, that is a revolutionary act, and it takes some courage to do what Mr. Bergen did tonight. And we thank him for appearing on the Political Cesspool to share his story. But it's only going to get more dynamic as we continue on in tonight's live broadcast. I welcome back now the incomparable Sam Dixon, a man known to many on this show. He's been appearing with us for nearly 10 years now, since our very inception. He is, of course, an author, attorney, and orator, and he's going to be with us this evening to examine how the world has changed over the course of the past century, and he's going to share with us his vision of what the world will look like. That's going to be scary. 100 years from now, if current trends persist, I believe this will be one of the best shows of the year. Sam, are you with us?
I am. How are you, James?
I'm doing very well. Even better now that you have rejoined us live, and it's been a long time coming, and it's great to have you back.
Well, you and I belong to a mutual admiration society.
Well, it's a small club. We are founding members, and there's much to be admired here, folks. Sam has played a terrible role in my development, such as it is. And I'm sure you're going to enjoy tonight's interview. In fact, the reason we were having Sam on tonight, I mean, there's never a need for it. We never need an excuse. But Sam actually had emailed me a couple of weeks ago, and we started off that particular show with a moment of silence. A particularly ominous day in the history of our people occurred 100 years ago on June 28th. That would be June 28th, 1914. Sam, why don't you share with the audience what happened on that day?
On that day, Gabriel Princip, a Serb, assassinated the Austro-Hungarian Archduke and heir to the throne, Francis Ferdinand, and his wife, Sophia. And that assassination set in motion a long series of events that culminated in the outbreak of the first great Peloponnesian War of the last century, of whites destroying whites. And killing each other off so that others could inherit their place. My Aunt Natalie, when I was a child, used to always say that the world had not been normal since 1914. I think she was right.
Well, you know, Keith Alexander and I on this show often point to 1954, particularly the Brown versus Board of Education decision, as a particularly distinct moment in American history where you can see the precipitous decline shortly thereafter. But certainly you could go back further than that, and I agree with your assessment, Sam, that if you go back a full 100 years to World War I, that really should be the starting point from which we examine this decline. And World War I didn't in and of itself bring about the cultural genocide of all symbols of Western civilization as we are currently finding ourselves scrambling to protect. But what effects did World War I have just as an event that severely handicapped the white world?
That we could go on, we could be talking several weeks, 24 hours, 7 on that. But the Americans have a hard time understanding what the destruction of the monarchies meant. But that was a really disastrous thing, I think, for white people. when you had monarchs running countries, you had people at the top of the pinnacle, the people at the helms of the steering wheel of the ships, who could think in long-term basis and who could plan for the future of the white race and of their people. Right now, there is no government anywhere on the world, that on the planet, that can think in terms of what is good for white people. There are lots of governments that can think of what's good for other people. The government of Israel, of course, works constantly for the interest of Semites, of their particular type of Semite. Black governments work for the good of black people. The Mexican government works for the welfare of brown people, India, China. But there's no government except possibly Putin in Russia who actually think of what is good for white people. And maybe the Pope, maybe you could say that to some extent the Catholic Church and the College of Cardinals can think of what's good for Europeans. But in 1914, that wasn't the case. You had people like the Kaiser who expressed concern about white people and the position of white people in the world, and so did the Tsar. And you had virtually most of the states in Europe were headed by monarchs, some of whom had a lot of power, some of whom had not a whole lot of power. But their destruction, wiping them out, was a tremendous setback for us. And then creating in Russia to replace the most solidly Christian power in the world, the Romanov dynasty, to replace it with people like Trotsky, Applebaum, Litvinov, this pack of non-Russians and non-Christians, this murderous, homicidal gang of fanatics that took over the huge resources of Russia. And for the next 70, 80 years, they had unlimited power to squeeze out of the Russian people, as miserable as they were, money to fund left-wing agitation all over the world. I think it's interesting to see how much the left-wing agitation in Germany has receded since the overthrow of the Soviet government in Russia. When I was in Germany in the 70s and 80s, there was enormous left-wing agitation. And once the Soviet government went, it pretty much subsided. And I think that indicates my suspicion that much of that was being subsidized by the Soviets. So it created a base for this extreme anti-white, anti-Christian, fanatical Marxism that could control the sixth of the planet. And of course it wiped out millions and millions of white men before they had children, and generally the best men of all of their countries. In the United States, it brought about a huge shift of economic power. Woodrow Wilson, who was, as you know, one of the more sinister figures in the history of this country, appointed Bernard Baruch to control the nation's economy during the war. And Bernard Baruch looked after his coalitionists, and a lot of money changed hands in that war. Power.
Sam, if I could ask you to hold up right there. I know you're on a roll, but we've got to take a commercial break, and we're going to let you continue your thoughts and develop these thoughts when Winston Smith joins me as co-host for the continuation of our interview with Sam Dixon right after this. Stay tuned, everybody.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
We are asking that callers that call back in during the third hour as to not interrupt Sam Dixon as we continue this very important conversation. I know we've had a lot of people trying to get through. We will open up the phone lines in the third hour. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool as we broadcast tonight, as always, from our flagship AM radio station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online to listeners all around the world. And we were reading some of the fan mail at the top of the first hour tonight, and read one from a listener who had been tuning in for years from Sri Lanka, of all places. You never know. Your next-door neighbor could be a Political Cesspool fan, growing every day. Continuing our discussion now, and I'm going to bring Winston Smith, who has now joined us on the line to co-host this hour with me. As we continue this interview with Sam Dixon, we were reflecting on the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand on June 28, 1914, which, of course, was an event that brought about, in many ways, World War I, and we're letting that discussion develop into bigger things, which is how the world has changed, specifically the white world has changed. Over the course of the last 100 years, Sam Dixon mentioned that we could cover this for weeks and only scratch the surface, but among other things that occurred, the toppling of right-thinking monarchies from these world wars, and certainly the deaths of millions of young white men who had not yet had children. And you know, as a global entity, whites are a very small percentage of the global population and falling drastically. And what role do these two world wars have? Certainly as great as the Black Plague, for instance. Well, these are what we're examining tonight, and we're talking about it because no one else will. Before I get back to Sam, I want to welcome Winston, who has also been dutifully preparing for this interview. Winston, welcome to the show, and I will let you pose the next question to our featured guest, Mr. Dixon.
Hi, Winston.
Thanks, James. It's always my pleasure to be with you. Before I ask Sam a question, I want to give a shout-out. You mentioned that our audience is growing every day, and I think I helped add a new listener, and I'd like to give her a shout-out, a very nice lady. She's 70-plus years young, and her name is Arlene. So, hi, Arlene. Hi, Arlene. Thank you for joining us. All right. Sam, that era, 1914, 1913, they were monumental in so many ways, not the least of which was the establishment of the Federal Reserve in the United States under Woodrow Wilson, something for which he he expressed deep remorse for in his last days. Is there? Can you tie the establishment of the Federal Reserve with World War One?
Well, I don't know the direct connection. I'm not very learned on that subject. Certainly, big banks and banking systems go hand in hand with wars. Socialism and big banks and big business are strongly invested and benefited by these huge wars. You know, in the next great Peloponnesian War and in the Second World War, one of the most important things that came out of that was the Bretton Woods Conference, which I think ties into the Federal Reserve by setting up the whole world money system and establishing the dollar as the world reserve currency and giving the United States so much influence all over the world, which has been used promptly. If naturally Americans would tend to be patriotic and would think it was good to have America have this power and influence, and it would be if it were to exercise by people like you and James Edwards, but America's influence has been exerted all over the world against the interests of our people, just as the federal government opposes the interests of our people in the United States. Are you there?
What you had mentioned there with regards to the banks, yeah, I was going to say before Winston asked that question, and I didn't know that question was forthcoming, was that both of these wars were obviously completely avoidable. Both wars were completely avoidable, and you ask yourself, you know, what reason was it? And certainly banks and money. I mean, all wars are fought over money, and that's a grotesquely oversimplified answer. But other than that, everything has been, that has come of those wars has been to the detriment of the sides that fought them, and that includes both of those sides. But, Winston, I'll toss it back to you with that and let you catch up on the questions, and then we've got much more to cover this evening.
Okay, thanks, James. My point in asking that question, Sam, was to really go back to what George Orwell said. He said, war happens only when the moneyed classes think it will profit from them. Do you agree with that?
I agree with part of that. I think it's hard to look at history and current and politics and how things happen and say that it's because of this factor, this one factor. Certainly, the military-industrial complex is a big part of all of this. The people who make money out of the munitions and the Defense Department spending, people who, in World War One, one of the reasons that got America into the war, the main reason, as you know, was the Balfour Declaration, in which the deal was made between the British government and the Zionist organization that if the Zionists used their influence with Woodrow Wilson and then the American media, which was an enormous influence, to secure American entrance into the war, the Allies would give Palestine to the Zionists. But there were, you know, that was one cause of our entry, and that major cause, the major cause of our entry into the war. But also you had people in America who had bought up Allied war bonds. And the concern was that the Allies, who they thought initially were going to have an easy victory over Germany and Austria-Hungary, it began to look like they might lose the war, in which case those war bonds would not be repaid. So you had the military-industrial complex of America pushing for entrance into the war, and you had the military-industrial complex in Great Britain and Germany pushing these arms races, the naval races, each country trying to build these fleets, and the military-industrial complex frightening people in both countries with war talk and how we had to have, they had to have bigger defense budgets and bigger fleets and bigger drafts and this kind of thing. So that played a big role in it. But, of course, there are also ideological reasons. I think part of the reason as in the case of America's entry into the war, the greater reason was the deal that was made by the Zionists and the British government to bring us in, which was, that's an example of racial idealism moving events. Not money, but racial idealism. And then you had ideological factors. You had, once the Tsar had been overthrown, you had leftists all over America and elsewhere that really then wanted to see an Allied victory. There was a lot of concern that an Allied victory, if Tsarist Russia was still part of the deal, would actually strengthen the Russian government. And once that was overthrown, then a lot of these leftists all over the world and America were excited at the prospect of overthrowing the monarchies in Germany and Austria-Hungary and maybe even pulling off a Soviet revolution in Germany, which they tried and failed on. So you had other issues, but none of them benefited us. And none of this was the benefit of the average Christian American person in any European or North American country. It was all entirely to our detriment.
I think, Sam, when we come back, we will shift gears to how pathological altruism, in addition to the devastating effects of these world wars, have impacted our people and will come to the current day and age of 2014 and beyond. But listening to you talk about these wars, how much better we would have been off if they had not been fought. I want to share a quick thought about that when we come back, and then we will continue to cultivate this dinner. Stay tuned, everybody.
Liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Oh yeah, ho, wanna be by my side. Oh yeah, ho, now it's finally time.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. I'm Winston Smith, along with James Edwards, and we have Sam Dixon with us. And we're talking about, in the first segment, we talked about World War I and how it came about and some of the background of that. And in this segment, we will be asking Sam to give us his thoughts on the future of the white race as a result of World War I and the current conditions. So, Sam, you want to take it away?
Yeah, I think James is going to talk about pathological altruism. But,
yeah, we're going to get into that. I was going to let Winston, I called an audible there in the break and let Winston take it from the top. But I was going to say, and we'll certainly cultivate Winston's thoughts as well. Of course, folks, we are examining the state of the white world over the course of the last 100 years using the onset of World War I as our baseline, and we're doing the best we can in the constraints of commercial talk radio. But I was thinking, though, Sam, just before the break, of how much better, obviously, the world would have been had those wars not been fought. You know, now we live in an era in which the United States can't even muster the finances or determination to continue its own space program. And we see our treasures going to everyone else in the form of foreign aids, everyone except our own family members, our own people. We have encouraged the best and the brightest not to reproduce. We don't live in a society that encourages people who should be having children to, in fact, have children. Whereas, on the other hand, obviously, the dregs of society, we certainly live in an age of dysgenics now where the worst, by any standard of measurement, are the ones who are reproducing at an astonishing rate. And you look back even at Germany prior to World War II, and they were so much more scientifically advanced and technologically advanced than America was at the time. And if we could have cultivated those kinds of people to continue to reach for the stars, you know, where would America be? Where would the world be now? Well, that's a dream. That's all hypothetical, I guess, because we certainly didn't go that route. We went the exact opposite direction. But it is something to consider. And one of the reasons for this departure from excellence has been pathological altruism. So in getting back to Winston's question, I guess I'll let you take it from there and then perhaps weave the two together. But how has pathological altruism filled in the blanks of the devastation of our people that the two world wars perhaps couldn't cover in and of themselves?
Well, pathological altruism went along with it. We can blend Winston's idea and question and agree with you with what you said. Americans are really easily conned with sob stories, and you know, in both these world wars, we were stampeded into entering the wars by very biased news coverage. You know, just like with the explosion on the Maine in 1898 was used to get us into war with Spain. You had things like stories that came out about the Germans and Belgium in World War I and how they were melting down Canadian and British prisoners and manufacturing soap out of them and killing prisoners of war, that they were raping nuns in Belgium, that they tied the priests' feet to the clappers and used the priests as live bell ringers and dashed out the priests' heads against the edges of the bells, that they chopped off the fingers of male Belgian children so that when they grew up they could never shoot a rifle. All of this stuff was put out, and it was attested to. The Archbishop of Canterbury claimed that he had personally examined it and that he personally attested to this as true. And he enlisted the Episcopal clergy of America to put these stories out. After the war was discovered, Archbishop Canterbury not only didn't know about it, didn't have any proof of it, he knew of the certainty that it was a complete pack of lies. And he used his church and the Christian religion to peddle lies to bring about a war. It's no surprise that thinking people watched things like that in World War I and came away with a greatly diminished respect for Christian religion and for the priests and clergymen who led the Christian religion at that time. But you see this same pathological altruism today. You see these preposterous stories in the papers. The idea that Assad in Syria used chemical weapons right after Obama had said the use of chemical weapons would bring us into the war. Obviously, Assad is not a dumb man. He would obviously know the last thing on earth that he would benefit him would be to use chemical weapons in a civil war that he was winning. And yet the American media went along with this preposterous story. There was only one man on the planet who stood against it. And I'll ask you a question, the two of you. Who is the man most responsible for preventing a war in Syria? So what person on the planet bears responsibility for stopping another phony, sob story created war? Think about it. I can't hear you if I go offline. Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sam. James didn't let me know that he wasn't going to be there. I apologize.
But anyway, I don't know where we stood talking to each other. Did you hear my question?
Yeah, Sam. I had a moment where my headset had gone out. I'm going to take the easy way out and have Winston answer that question so we can work him back into the interview. Winston, did you gather it all?
Who was the one man?
Stephanie's having trouble hearing Sam.
Well, I'll keep
Tell me, Winston's little problems abound. We have Winston. With Winston, I don't know if you're aware of this, Sam. Our dear co-host Winston, after years of service in our Navy, has lost the benefit of his hearing, and so we connect with Winston via the aid of a courtroom transcriptionist who types to Winston in the chat room that which is being spoken on the air. And as my headset failed just for a moment, as you were wrapping up the question, she also had a momentary lapse. So, yeah, nothing like live radio, right, my friend?
It's credible. It's not slick, and therefore, to thoughtful people, it's credible.
Well, Winston, I want to work you back in. With that having been said, I guess it will we will allow Sam's question to remain as a rhetorical one for everyone to ponder in his or her own heart.
Let's answer it. This is a very important point that people, especially people of our type listening to this broadcast, need to think about. I'll go ahead and answer the question.
Yeah, answer your own question.
I wanted people to be thinking about it. The man, there's one man who stopped that war, and that's Vladimir Putin.
We now
know that the story about the chemical weapons being used by Assad was false. Just like we know the story of the explosion on the Maine that started the Spanish-American War was false. We know the story of the Tonkin Gulf attack on our ship. We know that LBJ made that story up. That story was false. And now one person stopped the stampede to war over in Syria. That was Putin, who said that it was improbable and intervened to stop the rush to war and help work out the program by which the inspectors went into Syria. They've worked on all these chemical weapons, taken them out of the country, neutralized them. To follow up on the question of who saved peace, who prevented thousands of more American guys dying and coming back with ruined for life from yet a third adventure in the Middle East? Who is now hated more than anyone else by the American State Department and the American media? Putin.
Yeah, obviously, Vladimir Putin. And, you know, the question was answered by those who could hear, which would be everybody else in the listening audience, save the two hosts for that 10-second span. But I'm getting a lot of emails. The answer is Vladimir Putin, Vladimir Putin. Even people texting me on his cell phone.
Vladimir Putin deserved the Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, Barack Obama did not deserve it because he was given it when he hadn't done anything yet. But Vladimir Putin deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. And yet he is the most hated figure in America. Just as the media made the Spanish hated in 1898, made the Germans hated in 1914, and so on.
Well, Sam, time for another commercial break. We're going to regain our footing and bearings here in this break and continue with this excellent interview tonight. And before it concludes, we're going to ask Sam what the world looks like 100 years from now if current trends persist. Don't wait. Don't miss out on that answer. Stay tuned, everybody.
Liberty News Radio Network.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back to Get On The Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, there's never a dull moment with live radio, and we prove that we are live every week. Normally not with technical difficulties. We're normally pretty rock solid on that. But there's always something that doesn't go quite according to plan. And I'll tell you, tonight with Sam Dixon, we have perhaps bitten off more than we can chew trying to put into an hour of commercial talk radio, which really equals about 40 minutes approximately, what has gone on in the white world over the course of the last 100 years, two world wars and a multitude of other issues and scenarios. But we are doing the best we can with the time we've got, and we can always continue this interview and make it perhaps even into a series, if Sam would be willing, in subsequent weeks. But Sam, you're so right about what you said about Vladimir Putin, and I'm glad that you were able to work his name and what he has done into this conversation, because, and I'm trying not to be too sensational here, we like to be grounded and we like to be objective, but Russia could very well prove to be the key to white survival. And that does give me some hope. You look at where Russia was in World War II and beyond, for instance, and if ever there was going to be a country that wouldn't be able to come out of the nosedive, it would be Russia. But in fact, now they are far superior culturally than the United States, to say the least. You had mentioned, though, Sam, I want to try to work in how this thing plays out, if it is able to progress unabated here over the course of the next several decades or even 100 years from now. I can vividly recall something that you shared with us in an interview on this show back in 2005, I believe it was, and the reason I remember it is because we revisit this point that you made fairly often, and it's something along the lines of, as the world turns on its axis each day, there is countless groups, both of non-whites and whites, who wring their hands wondering what they can do to better the lot and lives of Sub-Saharan Africans or minorities in this country, or mestizos from South America and Mexico, so on and so forth. You know what I'm getting at. Now, of course, you can add homosexuals and the other protected groups to that. But on that same day, there is not one white group in the world. And you added into this, you know, government agencies and, you know, down to optimist groups and neighborhood associations and so on and so forth that truly just do everything they can to improve the lives of everyone but themselves. And as the world turns on that same day, there's not one white group that does that, and truly there may be one or two, but that's not an exaggeration.
Well, yes, but the point is that there are thousands and tens of thousands of meetings in which white people work to try to help non-whites. But on today and on this, today that happened. But today there was not one single meeting anywhere in the world in which non-whites met to think about how they could help white people.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It's just amazing that we're even still here. When you look at how we are crippled by that, and to get back to what I said at the beginning of the program, in 1914, you had governments in the world where the benefit and welfare, the long-term welfare of white people, was what they were thinking about. And we don't have those governments anymore. Now, we have large,
that's
many governments.
Because if you I hate to interrupt, and I apologize, Sam. No, you said so many things on this show that I want to work in the past, and this is one that I use quite often, is that race is our extended family, and what is love if not loving your own family a little bit more than others? And it's not to mean that you're not charitable or philanthropic or benevolent and have kindness and good in your heart towards all people, but you must love your family a little bit more than others, and I think certainly everyone else does that, but whites will not do that. In fact, they have guilt and resentment for who they are, and even though they come from the proudest stock that trod this globe of ours. But I think certainly if you play this out over 100 years, there will be an absolute eradication of everything that points back towards Western civilization. It will all be gone. All of the heroes, all of the
the Acropolis will be torn down and ground up to make cement. The Acropolis will be gone.
It's much more than that. Christianity will have been driven underground, and so much more. But, I just saw here, and I'll let you take it from here on out, Sam, but just this week, you see it happening before your eyes. Imagine, look from 1914 till now, how radically different it is. And now, as the accelerator is being pushed pedal to the metal, imagine another 100 years. It's all going to be gone. Just this week, Sam, you may have known or read about this, because a handful of black students at Washington and Lee University complained about the Confederate flag. They removed the Confederate flag from Robert E. Lee's tomb. So, yes, in 100 years, it will all be gone. But take it from there, my friend, and lead us to the finish line.
Well, remember that history is not predictable. If you'd gone back to June of 1914 and told the British government that was getting ready to go to war with Germany and rule an empire that extended all on which the sun never set, if you had told them that 100 years from now there will be no British Empire, Ireland will be separate from Britain, and the descendants of your subjects in India and Africa will be the majority of people in London, and they will be freely assaulting English girls and beating up English guys and taking over whole cities in your country, they would have rated you as being certifiably insane. Nobody could see in 1914. They're not going to imagine such a future. By the same token, liberals today, the white liberal victims of all the hate propaganda and guilt propaganda who go to those thousands of meetings all over the world, they can't imagine a non-liberal world. But there will be a non-liberal world 100 years from now. It may not be a white world, but it's going to be a non-liberal world. So when the liberalism goes away, when all of the self-hatred, all of the ethno-masochism, all of that goes away, then whites will have a chance. You cannot extend any trend to infinity. If you extended out the growth of Los Angeles between, say, 1950 and 1960, if you extended that over two or three centuries at compound interest, Los Angeles would exceed the surface of the globe. So, that can't happen. And by the same token, these trends can't go on. It's busting up. America's
That's
busting
actually.
Up.
That's actually a very interesting observation, Sam, to hear you say that, because, I think it's our natural, not perhaps our natural instincts, but you always imagine your greatest fear, and that it continues to get worse and continues to get a more oppressive environment for Europeans over the course of the next 100 years. But you're right. I mean, sooner or later, so what you're saying, though, is that no trend persists forever, and that this one will come to a halt one way or another. It's not sustainable.
It can't be sustained. And I think it will come to a halt fairly soon, in the next 20 years. Necessity knows no law. And necessity knows very little morality. Whites are just marinated in guilt, in their churches, on the television, in the schools, in Little League, in every aspect of their lives growing up. They are marinated in hate-inspired guilt. And most of them adopt this so-called moral system because it is personally beneficial to them, and they don't hear another one. And they might suffer if they oppose it, as you have suffered and I have suffered mildly. And so they just go along with it. And they've been able to afford the luxury of it. Whites back in 1954 when the Brown decision came down, they were nice in the country. Standard living was going up. America was the only major industrial nation on the earth, and everything was rosy. But it's not that way anymore. And if Obama puts through, if he issues his Emancipation Proclamation, and these aliens come in with family reunification, and we will get four or five for every one that's in the country, the country's just going to come to a boil. And when people really have to start giving up, when they really are suffering, that this liberalism will go away. And if whites weren't hobbled by that, and if we didn't have to deal with the traitor whites breaking ranks, there's no question but that we could win all this stuff back.
Well, that's actually encouraging to take such a dire topic of conversation and to end it on an uplifting note is pretty incredible. But as we have said before, and I believe it was said and gone with the wind, one day they will turn and fight again. And when they do, perhaps me and you will still be around to fight with them, Sam. But it will have to get worse first, unfortunately. It won't last forever, we think, but it will have to get worse. They will have to suffer more. And I'm talking about the fat, dumb, and lazy bread and circus white people. Will have to suffer. It'll have to hit them a little closer to home. And when that happens, something will change. We won't take back America, I fear, as we once knew it, but we will be better off than the way we are trending now.
We'll have something better than the old America. The old America, had a fatal flaw at birth. And it is an experiment that has failed. And we need to stop talking about taking it back or restoring it. We're embarking on something that is going to be splendid. It's going to be new. It's going to be unlike the world of 1914 or the South of 1954. It will be a society so far more healthful, so far more uplifting, with such greater prospects. So you know, to the stars, through difficulties.
Well, I'm going to sleep easy tonight knowing that that is our future, Sam. But I will say, in the defense of the founders, much like the leaders of Britain in 1914, there's no way they could have foreseen this. And by this, I mean this godforsaken country that we currently find ourselves in. But Sam, thank you so much for lending your brilliance to us for an hour on a weekend night, and we'll talk to you again soon.
God bless you. God bless everyone. Thanks.
Radio Network. Sam Dixon, everybody. We'll be back for the third hour right after this. What a guy.